1, 3 through 5, talking about our inheritance. I tell you, it's so fitting. It's good to be able to be patriotic, you know, and be a Christian. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? We live in a free nation that God has given us, that we can come here and worship freely. Listen, that's something that we should ever be, always be thankful for. Thank you, guys, for Children's Church. We should always be thankful for living in the free nation that we do and having the freedom to come and worship and call upon His name. Well, today we'll be looking at 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. And just to follow up, last Sunday we were gone, and I know you did communion, always a great time. But just to go back to where we jump-started in 1 Peter a couple weeks ago now and how he began, and Peter in the first couple verses, I want to look at this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. He jumps right into it, Peter does, because he's speaking to a persecuted church, a church that's under Nero, and the Roman Empire is coming hard down on Christians. I told you that he had burnt Rome down, blamed it on the Christians, and so they are under intense persecution. And Peter's writing this encouraging epistle to them, and to encourage them on where they are and whose they are. And we learn in those scriptures, if you remember, that God the Father had it planned, God the Son accomplished it, and God the Spirit sanctifies us or applies it to our life. And how the Trinity and the Triterion God comes through these scriptures, and how Peter now, it's almost like, and he finished off with that in verse 2 there, where it's grace to you and peace be multiplied. And how we talked about the grace that's been applied to our life and the peace that we need. Grace and peace is all we need to make it in this world. Apart from the things that Christ has given us, there's nothing that is greater. Nothing that's greater than the grace that's been applied to our life. There's nothing. You can't put a price on grace or the peace that comes through that grace. And so Peter begins, and then it's almost like he can't contain himself, because I want us to look at 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, and I hope that we have our scriptures, whether you have it electronically or there might be a pew Bible in front of you if you don't have your word. Turn to 1 Peter and stand to your feet, and let's reverence the reading of God's word this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll be looking at just a couple verses, 3 through 5. And this is what it says: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. We pray, dear God, that You will touch our hearts with Your word this morning, and we'll give You all the glory for it, because we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you may be seated. So this morning, I want us to think about it. It's almost like Peter burst into this doxology where he says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing, because he can't contain himself. Listen, we shouldn't be able to contain ourselves sometimes when we think about the peace and the grace that's been applied to our life through Christ Jesus. Listen, all of us here, if we have Christ as our Savior, we have something that's eternal that can never be lost or taken away from us. If that's not enough to make you say, whoo, that was weak, wasn't it? Woo! Yeah, that's it. It should fire us up. We should be the most. And we see Peter, man, when he's just talking about Christ, we see him, he breaks into this doxology about being blessed. Bless the God and Father. I want us to think about our inheritance this morning. And when I say inheritance, the first thing that jumps to mind is we think about what's being left to us, whether it's here, the temporal, and maybe we've inherited stuff from our parents that have passed or our grandparents, and this inheritance and these things that are passed down, if you please. But I want you to know something this morning. He's not talking about the temporal, but he's talking about the eternal. Our inheritance as Christ's children. Listen. So much greater than anything that could ever be passed down. I know we've got a lot of sentimental value in things, and there's probably stuff that's priceless that cannot be monetary worth, but I'm going to tell you something. There's something far greater than anything, something, your treasure here on this earth, something that far exceeds that, and that that's our eternal inheritance through Christ Jesus. And so I want us to think about that and be encouraged by that. He's wanting us to, this church, in the midst of their persecution, in the midst of, why is it it's hard sometimes to grasp the magnitude, isn't it? When we're going through hardships on this world, to grasp the magnitude of what's coming in the future so much greater than anything that we're suffering right now. That we grasp the inheritance, that which has been laid up, that eternal inheritance, and he wants to bless them where they can worship God more intelligently. We need to learn to worship him. And worship him more intelligently. Not, it's not just all about what we're getting, but who he is. Man, we could spend the whole morning talking about what he's given us, and we could be blessed, and people, everybody could stand up and give a praise. But what about who he is? How much more difficult? He's God. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's righteous. He's holy. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy. And I'm going to tell you, if we get past what he gives us and who he is, we're getting to worship him. We're getting to worship. But Peter, he wants to encourage this church that's going through persecution. And he wants them, listen, he's wanting them to take their focus off of what's going on around them. It's difficult. That's easy to say. And he wants them to look at the things above, what's laid up for them. And so I want us to think about three things in our inheritance this morning. First, it's the source. Look at verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, that's a mouthful in itself. Look what he said and what he said. Peter's assuming the necessity of the believers to bless God. We should bless God for everything. In the Greek, in the Greek language, B is not in there, so it'd be bless the God. Bless God for what he's done. Do you have anything to bless him for this morning? He just got us up. He made the sun come up this morning. He gives us every breath that we have. He gives us this beautiful place that we live in, the beautiful weather that we have. It might feel hot out here. It might even feel a little hot in here. But listen, you go off the mountain. I bet it's hotter down there, ain't it, Lee? You go off the mountain, ain't it, Dave? Down there where you live? I came through that other day. It's 100 degrees for an hour and a half. And I was going 70 miles an hour, okay? Maybe a little faster. The Lord knows. For an hour and a half, it was 100 degrees. And then it went down to 99 for about another 30 minutes. And I thought, dear Lord, people live in this. Look at what God's given us. Listen. That's just the environment that he's given. But look at this great group of people that we love one another. We come here in Jesus' name to worship him freely in a free nation, that we don't have to worry about them lobbing grenades in or somebody coming in and taking your life because you're calling upon the name of Jesus. How blessed are we today? And Peter says, bless is necessity. He says it's the necessity that we should always bless God, especially for our eternal inheritance. What we have laid up, don't even compare. Listen, you think it's beautiful out here? Wait till you see what he's got laid up for you. There's a place that doesn't compare. A place without sin. A place without the sin of this world. A place without the sin of myself. Man, and it's beautiful. It's not marked. This is a fallen world. Romans tells us that. Romans 8. It said it groans and travails that the world's even fallen. Even in its magnificence, beauty, it doesn't compare to our eternal inheritance. And he says, look, and he calls him to do that. He says, bless the God and Father of what? Of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our God is a Christian God. The two are one. You can't separate them. Jesus, God the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no other way to the Father except through the Son. Can I get amen? If you're trying to come any other way, if you're saying, well, I believe in God, that's not enough today. We'll see that right here where he says that. He makes this statement. And here's the deal. There's a lot of people that have an interest. I believe in God. When we say that, is it the God? How important is that? There's only one. Oh, I believe in the God that created it all, but they want to separate when we get to talking about Jesus. I mean, why do they want to do that? Because most people want to accept that there's a God, but they don't want to accept there's a Son that came and gave his life for their sin. Sin is the problem. We don't want to accept that we're born into sin and that we need a Savior. And Peter tells them, he says, the God, not just a God, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus says this, and he talks about in John chapter 5, Jesus himself says this. And listen, he's talking to the religious group. He's talking to the Jews, the Israel, the religious people that are set apart. He said, but I have a greater witness than John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. He's talking to the religious crowd, the Jews. He's saying, you're believing in a God, but you've made him into the God that you think that he is. And when he sent his son to die for you, and Jesus, this is Jesus saying, you're rejecting me, and I'm the one that the Father has sent. Do you understand this morning? I want this to be as clear as possible. You cannot have a relationship with God without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can anybody say amen? All roads do not lead to heaven. In fact, there's only one road, and it says it's narrow, and few find it. It's what Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mount. The default is the broad gate that leads to destruction. Anybody else hot? Man, look. Let me show you. I know you're going to start fussing. I am hot. Whew. I could preach on hell today, and we'd feel pretty good about it, wouldn't we? Sorry. I know I'm getting in trouble for that. Listen, but he said, hey, it's not the issue is not whether you believe in God or not. The issue is whether you believe in Jesus Christ, his son. Because you can't have one without the other, that old song. You can't have one without the other. You can't. You can't separate them. And I want you to know if you're trying to, if you think that you're going to make it to heaven any other way than the cross of Calvary, that the Scripture says you're wrong. Not a preacher's opinion. But what the Scripture says, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus said that. So if you're trying to get there any other way, your good works, believing in a God, that's not enough. The only one way, and that's through the Son. And he shed his blood for you, and he loves you, and he cares for you. And he's the source of all this. You have to come through the Son to be in right standing with the Father. We gather to worship this God, but it's not, listen, it's not all of us, but for it's not for just us, but it's for the benefit, listen to this, that for those that don't know him. We come and we worship and we gather, not just so that we be encouraged and that we feel good about ourselves, but that we can carry the gospel outside of these doors to a lost world. There's people all around us that are lost that don't know Jesus Christ. And when we worship, it should motivate us to carry that outside this door into our mission fields, into our communities, into our neighborhoods, into our state, into our world. Taking the gospel. That's why we worship. We get a better view of him so that we can take it out with us and share it with a lost world. That's full of hopelessness. Our worship should drive us to share with the lost. If it doesn't, I question whether we truly worship. You understand that? Let me say it again. Our worship should drive us out to share the gospel with the lost. If it doesn't, I wonder if we ever really worship. It's not about us. Why? It's according to his abundant mercy. Everybody in here has been shown mercy this morning if you're a child of God. Mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what we deserve, folks. If that's not enough to shout about, I don't know what is. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. What do we deserve? We deserve hell, separation from God in eternity. But we got grace and we got mercy. Because of God, he was rich in his abundant mercy. This God. And he says, listen, that we're born again, who have begotten. Again, that is a born again is a biblical word. In fact, I remember Nicodemus when he comes to Jesus in John chapter 3. What does he tell him? You must be born again. Born again is a biblical term. It's not something that we made up in a pulpit or in the churches. It's a biblical word. Who has begotten us. Born again. If you have not come to that place in your life, if there's not a mark in your life. Now, I realize for some people, you wasn't a heathen like me and it wasn't as radical. I understand that. But some of you grew up in church home and it's a slow process, but there's going to be a time in your life when you're born again. You receive Christ as your Savior. There is a mark, whether it's a time frame over a certain, for me, it was a radical moment, a moment in time, an hour, down to an hour, that He transformed me and made me into who I am today because Christ saved me. I was born again. Who's begotten us is what this scripture said. Who's begotten us again to a living hope. Listen, I'm no longer am I hopeless. No longer am I groping for hope or looking for something to satisfy me out in this world. I have received it in Christ. I have a living hope that's changed me, yes, in the past. February 28, 1990. It changed me in the past, but listen, it's relevant in the present. It's changing me. I'm being conformed into His image daily. He changes me daily, but it also has a connotation in the future. I will be with Him one day in glorification. That's salvation. It's not just a one-time thing, but it is an ongoing, life-changing experience until we get to be with Him. Man, that's part of that living hope that He says. And it's through what? The resurrection of Christ from the dead. It's the resurrection that sets us apart. God received Christ's payment on the cross for our sin. When He said it is finished, guess what? It is finished. There's no other need for sacrifice. His blood covers it all when we receive that. You know what? We receive that final sacrifice. And have God's stamp of approval. In 3 days, they buried Him and placed Him in a tomb. But the third day, He arose. And that was the stamp of approval that God was pleased with that sacrifice. And we receive that. Listen, He said what we have an eternal hope, a living hope because of that resurrection. It proved that God was pleased with that sacrifice. One day, the Scripture says, one day, one of these days, they're going to lay this old body down if God tarries. Now, I hope that don't take you by surprise. We're all, one out of one of us, you want statistics, is going to die in this room. If time long enough, I want you to know something. When they lay me down, I'm not looking forward to that day. Okay, because that fear of death, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, He took the fear. I don't worry about it. I'm not sure about the door, though. But I know one thing. When I step through that door, I'll be with Jesus face to face. And I don't fear it like that, not men without hope. I have something beyond this old world. It's an eternal inheritance. And it's given a living hope because of Christ's resurrection. So that's the source. But look at what's been given, verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Because of God, we don't get the justice, but we get that mercy, that abundant mercy. And look what He's given us. He's delivered us from the realm of hopelessness, and He's given us this eternal inheritance. And think of what it is. Look how it's described here. Incorruptible. Incorruptible. It cannot spoil. Yeah, Sandy and I've got our garden back behind the church. Man, we got some squash. It's unreal. We got the best garden we ever had. But this year, I did not plant potatoes. Okay? And up in the mountains, that's like, you didn't plant any potatoes? I said, no, I did not. He said, why? Why didn't you plant any potatoes? Listen, I planted potatoes and they always grew and we harvested those things and we didn't have a really cool spot to keep them in. And when you don't have a really cool spot to keep them in, what happens? The only thing I can think of more rotten than a potato is a rotten egg. Ugh. And it's amazing. You go back into that little place that you're storing them potatoes and it don't take you long to figure out one of them's rotten in there. And that one rotten one was spread to the rest of them. Before you know it, you've got a whole bunch of rotten potatoes. And you're got responsible for digging them things out and getting rid of them. Spoil. It can't, listen, we try to store them things, but they spoil. Listen, this inheritance will never spoil. God didn't give us a bunch of rotten potatoes, okay? He gives us an eternal inheritance that's laid up for us that's incorruptible. It cannot spoil. But next, look, undefiled. It's very similar to spoil, but further. It means unstained. Our inheritance, you know what? It's not up there getting, it's amazing how when you get a new car, it's not really new, but it had about 15,000 miles. So that's pretty new for us. That's as close as about as new as we're going to ever get one. Chevrolet. I was really proud that we took that little blue thing out of the garage and put the bow tie back where it belonged. Anybody say amen? Okay. But it's amazing. It's amazing that when you get in that car, and even if it had 15,000 miles, you know what it smelled like? Oh, it smells like a new car. Ain't you know that new car smell? And I think they even make spray that you spray in them, the new car smell. I think they even have that, right? And my wife, listen, that's her car, and she's like, you better be careful with my car. You drive it. She don't want it dinged, right? No dings. Nobody's spilling anything in it. Now, I realize in a couple years it won't matter. It's amazing, ain't it, when the newness wears off of it. A couple years it won't matter. But unstained, in other words, our inheritance is not up there getting dinged or somebody spilling on it. It stays new all the time. It smells new, okay? It doesn't lose its luster whatsoever. It's unstainable and it's undefilable. It's our inheritance laid up in heaven. But lastly, unfading. Does not fade away, is what the Scripture says. Never fails. Everything fades, don't it? Speaking of Chevrolets, my red truck, when I came up here, I bought that red truck. I was so proud of that thing. It's a 2000 model. It's still got a cassette player in it, by the way. Okay? No, you know, you can find a cassette. It just don't work anymore very good. But it didn't have one spot of rust in it when I came up here. If you'll notice, it's eat up of rust right now. I ain't been up here but 5 years with it. I'm like, in 5 more years, I'm going to have to, it's going to be broken half. I'm serious. It's this idea, it loses, it decays, rust. Do you understand? You remember when Jesus talked about laying up treasures in heaven? That, what does it say? Moth and rust cannot touch. Your inheritance can never fade away. It can never be touched by rust. It can never be touched by moths. It's reserved in heaven for you. Let me ask you this morning. What else do you have on this earth that's incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Everything else is lent into corruption, into defilement, and into fading away. Only Jesus done this. So our relationships, our homes, our monies, everything, listen, even your 401k that you think is so safe can be gone in a second. But Jesus said he has an inheritance in him that's laid up that can never be taken away from you today. Never be taken away from you. So our inheritance is what? It's untouched by death. It's unstained by evil. And it's unimpaired by time. That's what you have. It's an eternal inheritance. We live in this world in the mindset of uncertainty in all other areas, not this inheritance. Why? It's reserved in heaven for you. So we see that. We see its source. We see what's been given. But last, we see its security. Look at verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Think about how Satan tries to trip people up about their salvation. You know what he says? It makes you whisper in your ear, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to be a Christian or be saved. And you know what? You're exactly right. None of us are. None of us are, but it's not according to your goodness. What does it say? According to His great mercy. It's not about according to us. It's according to Him. And receiving what He has done for us. And look at the security. What it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in these last days. Or how about this other lie? I don't think I'm good enough to keep the faith or keep up. Aren't you glad verse 5 says you don't have to? God, you're guarded, you're shielded. God keeps us. I want you to know something. I believe in the perseverance of the saints. You might not this morning. You might think that you can lose your salvation, but I'm going to ask you this. How can you lose that which you did nothing to gain? How? How can we lose? And where would be the dividing line? Was that thought, was that motive enough to push me over the edge? All I would get done is saying, Father, forgive me, which I do now. But it ain't because I'm losing my salvation. It's because I want to be more Christ-like. The security is in Him who, it says, who are kept by the power of God. How powerful is God? How powerful is God? We're on this ride right now. We're hurling out through space about 15,000 miles an hour by the orbit of the sun. How do you like this ride? We're on a rotation that's rotating 1,000 miles an hour. How do you like this ride? Why don't we feel it? It's called a little thing called gravity. Aren't you glad God's doing all this? He made the sun come up. He makes the moon just right. He makes the tides come in. He does all these things. And we think that, bang, it fell into place. Yes, it did. He said, let there be, and it did. We're on this ride, and he keeps us the power of God. He gives me every breath. He gives me every beat of my heart. He gives me everything that I have is his. Kept by the power of God. For, look, God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. Think about this. This is the idea of being kept, by the way. It's like a garrison, which would be like a Roman garrison of soldiers. It's not talking about Roman soldiers. It's talking about God and angels and what they can protect. You're kept. You're kept by this time. Look for salvation to be revealed in the last day. Peter's not saying, you know what he's saying right here? Don't look here. Don't look there. Look up. Look up. We're facing, yeah, you're facing persecution, church. That's what he's writing to. But don't get your eyes off the focus of your internal inheritance, and that is Christ, and one day it'll all be over. He's trying to encourage them. Where does our security rest? The great inheritance is given through salvation in Christ, and it has benefits from the past and in the present and in the future. Listen to this. We have been saved from sin's penalty. We've been saved from sin's penalty. When we receive Christ, our penalty for the sin, the wrath of God that's poured upon the children of disobedience has been appeased through Christ. We've been saved through sin's penalty. But listen to this, but we're being kept daily from sin's power. Our sanctification. We're being kept daily from sin's power. In other words, you can't say, I couldn't resist. God gave you the Holy Spirit of God, and it says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So sanctification is we're being saved daily from the sin's power, but don't miss this. We will be saved from sin's presence. Praise God, there's coming a day, and you've heard me say this before, I'm going to be delivered from Dave Cooper. Praise God, that's heaven. From sin and me, myself, and my flesh, there's going to be a day when my flesh has no longer got a stronghold on me of whatsoever. I'm going to be living in heaven, separated from sin, from myself. We'll be in love, perfect love of God, perfect love with each other, perfect love, perfect environment. It's not like he's getting it back the way he made it to begin with, don't it? Imagine that. We will be saved from sin's presence. It's a future. It's in this future that Peter is referring to, because he says revealed in the last time. You know what he's saying? Church, don't lose hope. Church, I know you're being persecuted. Nero looks like he's in charge and we're losing. But you know what he's saying? You're not losing. Why is that? Kind of like our song. We just sang. We have victory in Jesus. Don't lose hope. I know our world looks bleak and dark. You realize that God's in control. And Jesus came to save, seek, and save that which is lost. And he's given you his gospel to go and share out in this hopeless world. Problem is, we're not doing our part. You see, when we do our part, Christ is lifted up and magnified. And when he's lifted up and magnified, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. When he said it's finished, it's done because of Calvary. All the treasures of this world cannot compare to the glorious riches that are laid up for us in Christ Jesus. Applications and what we've done. Who's playing? There you are, Sam. Come and play. Listen to these applications and we'll be done. Linda will be you soon, morning. I'm so glad Linda's feeling better with her back operation. Listen, do you grasp the mercy that God has given you? Do you grasp the mercy that he's given you? I don't know if we're able to really grasp what he's done for us. Number two, which inheritance are you living for? What is it that you're working for today? What is it you're spending all your time, your gusto in? Isn't it an inheritance here that's corruptible, getting me taken away from you? Or is it in an eternal inheritance? Number three, most important, have you been born again? Let's all stand on our feet before the Lord. Not going to tarry long. Heads bowed before the Lord, praying. If you're saved and you know you're saved, you pray for those that are. Do you know that you've been born again? Is there a time in your life that Christ changed you, that He came into your life? And you can say, I might not can mark the exact time or day, but I know when it was, that this period of time where Christ changed my life. If you can't say that, you're lost today. And you're laying up treasures that will fade, will never last. Lay up the only thing that you can that's eternal, and that is Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're lost, you come. Receive Christ this morning. God's Spirit's working. Who needs Christ today? Maybe you've got your focus off of the eternal and it's on the temporal and you're tore up today. You've got something you're going through. You just tore up because you can't figure it out. You're trying to make it where it's financial, physical, whatever, relational. And you're saying, hey, I'm trying to figure this thing out, but you know what? I just need to give it to God. Altar's open. Altar's open. Which inheritance are you working for? Or maybe you just say, you know what? I just needed a fresh look at God's mercy today. God's mercy. What is it the Lord's saying to you? I won't tarry long. Jesus paid it all. Praise God. Jesus paid it all. Come on. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. What do you do? He washed it white as snow. You may be seated. We're going to get to the youth up here. Thank you, Sarah. We're going to get the youth up here. I need all my youth. I know that Aaron's going to get Lee, but everybody's going to be on the snowbird trip. Let's come up here and line up. I know you love this. Get up in front of everybody. Line up here across the front, if you would. We usually have a great group that goes. Listen, this is a week of intense camp, man. They go and do a lot of extreme sports. They learn, but they have a great time in learning the Lord. This camp is a great place for them to grow in the things of the Lord. There you go, brother. Come up here, Lane. And we need to pray for them. I know Sherry's got some prayer cards. You have them prayer cards, and we'll take them at the back. And if you would, while these youth are gone, some of this moms and daddies are back here in these chairs are saying, yeah, please pray for my kids while they're gone. It's very important. And got some moms and dads are going too, right? Need a lot of prayer. If you would, put your hands toward them and let's pray together for them. Father, you see this group that's going to be leaving out tomorrow to go to snowbird camp. What a great place to go. What a great place to have fun and learn together, but what a great place to experience Christ. And so I want to pray for this group as they go. Maybe somebody in this group that don't know they have a relationship with Christ. Lord, that's our greatest prayer, that they'll come to know Jesus through this camp. Maybe somebody that you're going to call into the ministry or to do a great work right here in this group. Lord, whatever you want to do with them, they're yours. We want to be a sending church that sends people our best out around this world, around this country, around this community to make a difference, in Jesus' sake. Be with the leaders. Be with Lee. Be with Aaron and Susan and the other leaders that will be with them. Lord, watch out for them and protect them. Let them have a great fun in these extreme things that they do, but also let them have an extreme encounter with Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in His marvelous name, and all God's people said. You guys may go back to your seat. Don't forget, we have a VBS meeting Saturday. I didn't say that, did I? At 10 o'clock. Bye-bye. VBS meeting Saturday at 10 o'clock. VB Vacation Bible School is the largest mission trip that we will go on all year. We'll have... There'll be almost 200 people here that week, and so it's so important that through workers and everything, it's so important that we're ready to go and serve Lord right here in downtown Todd. Donnie, pray for us and we'll be dismissed.